The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Welcome, one and all, to Podcast Beyond. Sorry.
Did we just stop?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 446. I'm Max Scoville. Joining me, Alana Pierce.
Greets.
Yes. Martin Silverman.
Yeah, that's
Marty Sleva.
The only thing you missed from being in Greece was that we now say greets.
We're on a text thread together. I know what we say.
Greets.
And currently late.
Greets.
Very late. And thus, we'll be suffering the wrath of the battle axe, is Andrew Goldenfarman.
Yeah, he's doing a hot E3 meeting.
There's nothing hot
he's
about
E3. He's very important.
Yes. E3 is actually
LA
cold.
LA is pretty hot.
Yeah, no, and E3, like those rooms.
That convention center is pumped full of cold, cold air.
That's not true.
You get shivers.
No, it's definitely very warm in there.
No, yeah. It's not.
No, yeah.
I've been
to
so many E3s, and I can say on average, the temperature is very, very cold.
It's
colder than the Antarctic.
You're going to be sweating under those hot lights.
Yep.
Yeah, talking
hot legs or lights?
Leg lights.
Okay.
Either?
Anybody,
you've been playing
anyway,
Overwatch?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the radio program. I was in Greece for a week. I guess it was a vacation. It was really fun. It was cool. That country is basically just Cause 3 without the bungee cords.
Yeah.
I had this wonderful moment where we were driving through Crete. And you know all those things in Just Cause that you blow up that are like big candy cane looking propane
Everything?
Tanks?
Yeah.
Right. And then those big like stupid like Epcot Center golf ball radios. Tower
yeah.
antenna
yeah, yeah.
things. I thought those were really like kind of convoluted when I was playing that game. They totally have those there.
What do they do?
I don't know. Maybe people see them from their helicopters and they're like, oh, there's a big golf ball. Let's go play golf. I don't know.
I think a series of small men live inside them.
Probably.
A series. But I actually love that when you go to a place and you feel like you've been there before because of a video game.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
first time I was in L.A.,
yep.
So
GTA.
Strange. I was like,
GTA.
Oh, GTA. And then what's the pier called?
Santa Monica.
Is that the name
Venice?
Of the pier? Yeah,
Venice Pier, yeah.
The Venice Pier, yeah.
Santa Monica Pier,
walking up that, I was like, man, I've done some stuff here in Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I'm ground on that
yeah.
weird roller coaster. It's so yep. strange that I was, like, fond of these places because I'd seen them in GTA.
Yeah. We also rented ATVs and tore around on there, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm in Far Cry, but yeah. I
it's
probably
so
shouldn't do murder right now.
No.
Shouldn't do a murder?
Yeah, it was really cool. So that was fun. It also makes me realize I almost... And I was in Germany as well, and I was kind of I was in I guess East Germany, kind of near Berlin, so it was kind of near Poland. And I noticed that the trees look a whole lot like the trees in The Witcher.
Yeah.
There were some little houses that looked like very witchery little houses, and I was like, I wonder if there's a manticore, a witch woman to
manticore?
Fight here. I didn't see any griffins or zephyrlings or whatever the hell you fight in that game.
What's the difference between a griffin and a manticore?
A manticore is
lion.
Manticore? It is lion, crab, eagle. Or snake, maybe?
And that
a griffin,
sounds inefficient.
A griffin is eagle, lion, horse?
Yeah, that sounds right.
What genitalia do those creatures have?
You got to look and
they
find
have
out.
Dax.
They just have
they got weird dax.
Weird dax?
Large,
yeah.
ropey ones.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The dax pod is the snake.
Before we get into things, I would like to apologize. When we talked about Uncharted, I said a thing that was a spoiler. A lot of people wrote in about that and called me out on it, and I just really want to apologize because I did not mean to do that, and that is kind of a... hazard of doing what
well,
we do.
Well, and it was something that the three of us even glossed over, too.
Yeah.
Which
so, yeah,
just...
that's on you. It's on you.
Yeah,
it was mostly Alana's fault.
Yeah. But checks real talk, balances. I read the comments on that episode, and by virtue of that, also had your spoiler spoiled for me before I had finished Uncharted.
Yeah, I don't know how it took you so long to finish Uncharted. I don't know what you do in your room. You know, it was locked
Overwatch.
Away. Weirdo. Yeah, but like, I don't know. I felt really bad about that because I didn't mean to do that. But
we
talk about a lot of stuff, and it can be like, I think we're past the statute of limitations for Harry Potter spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in high school at one point, I was in like homeroom, and this girl next to me was reading Deathly Hallows, the Order of the Phoenix. Oh. The fifth one, and she's sitting there, and she's reading it, and this was like a year and a half after it came out, and like there's that period when a Harry Potter book came out, and everyone would be reading it, and I was like, oh, are you rereading that? She's like, no, I'm reading it for the first time, and I'm like, oh, really? Oh, man, you are gonna love that ending, and she's like, don't spoil anything, like, no, you were gonna really love that, I am dead serious, and then I was like, oh. I didn't mean to say that. Luckily, she was very stupid, so she did not catch that.
Alana spoiled The Force Awakens for me the morning before I saw it.
Oh, I did.
The Force
terrible.
Wakes up.
And then you tried to backpedal?
I did successfully, I think.
I don't think so.
I think I really
You tried
did.
Too hard.
Anyway, so as Alana has very subtly mentioned, Overwatch.
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 Overwatch is out. And
Overwatch
people
is out.
Are playing this fun game about a bunch of friends who...
Hell are people talking about this.
I love it.
Like,
I love it.
Literally everyone in this office is playing it. And by literally, I mean figuratively, because I bought it, but I haven't played it.
Classic Marty.
That's vintage Marty.
I had one of those things where I would like go on Reddit and there'd be like webcomics or there'd be memes and stuff, and I don't get them, and people are tweeting stuff and I don't get it, and I'm like, oh man, I need to catch up.
It's like a game of culture thing currently is playing Overwatch, and I feel like if I weren't super into it, I would feel like I was missing out.
Yeah.
So
it's a hero shooter.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Team Fortress 2, except it's Blizzard's take on that, which means the animation style, I think it might have been you, or maybe it was old Mitchie D.
Rip.
Mitch Dyer. Likened it to being like an adult Skylanders in the way that it's animated, and it actually kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very blocky, and I mean, it doesn't look great, but the maps have a lot of verticality, and the characters are freaking awesome. Totally different play styles. I don't even know how many of them there are. There's,
I think it's 20 something.
Four
right?
sets of four, maybe more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you have like various different classes, and it tells you when you pick a character on your team. You know, if you don't have a sniper or if you don't have a support, it'll kind of tell you where you need
that.
To even your team out, which is really cool.
But you don't have to even because
no, you can play with
how much
the same,
how much time have you
character.
Put into it?
A lot.
What's that mean?
I don't want to know.
Okay, can you ballpark it? Like,
I mean, yesterday I played from 4 till 11, and that was just one day.
Okay, so that's a lot. Yeah. I played for about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped in. I played like a match. I really like it. I'm curious to check out more. I totally looked at this being like, will I hate this? Will I like this? I don't know. I'm for the first time since I want to say Warcraft 2.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how a Blizzard game looks.
Yeah.
I think that frequently they're. I mean, I guess Diablo is cool, but I hate the way World of Warcraft looks. I think that StarCraft looks cool in cinematics, but as far as gameplay looks, it looks like a bunch of candy rolling around. Like it's a bunch of way too colorful things, given the subject matter.
Yeah.
I think there's what is it, Grimdark? Is that what people call it? Or is it something?
Oh, that type of, that style.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That, like,
I mean,
style
I
of, like,
really like it, but I understand how you
I liked it. I think it's...
Overwatch looks different. To
Overwatch game. Looks... Overwatch looks like Overstrike. The game that turned into
Fuse,
which was something I was really looking forward to.
It really does, actually.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's funny we're calling this a hero shooter. I feel like, I mean, obviously that kind of comes from that, like, initially that was like, oh, what if a MOBA was a shooter, you know?
Yeah.
And that term, you know, surrounded Battleborn and that other one or whatever. But, like, this idea of taking kind of MOBA-like gameplay and applying it to a, you know, a shooter approach.
I mean, it gives you, like, a relationship with the character you're playing.
Yeah, I think it's odd, though, because it doesn't...
I mean, MOBAs do, too, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I don't feel like it's a MOBA because it doesn't have that... I think it's partly to do with the view. Obviously, this is first person, and that makes a huge difference. And partly to do with just, like, the way that a MOBA works for me is you have coins and you have things that you need to take out, mm-hmm. and you have lanes.
Yeah.
Like, but I guess that's not set in stone.
I think the MOBA comparison was just based on the fact that each character has this
different
very innate set of abilities and skills, and when you're playing as this character, you almost have to role play as.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't. It's not like Call of Duty where you can just get a loadout and be like, "Well, I'll do whatever I want."
You
like, you
have
to
play
as
every
this
different character.
So what I was going to say is, it feels like a fighting game. It feels more like a fighter than I was expecting, I guess, something, you know, something like, I don't know, Paragon or just sort of like this. I was expecting something more, I guess, not RPG-ish, that's the wrong thing, but more like RTS-like,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Like more,
yeah.
A little bit more grindy.
Yeah.
It's super,
not at all.
It's super goofy and fun, and I really like it. And, I mean,
I love the catchphrases.
I jumped in. I was switching as many characters as I could and completely having no idea what I was doing and kind of getting a feel for it. And
yeah, you kind of can't play it that way.
They're really charming. Like, they're really, I like that they do have this, you know, wide array of, they feel kind of like Pokemon, you know?
A little,
You got this, like, Grim Reaper asshole who's just like, I'm the death incarnate. And then there's, like, a gorilla.
Yeah.
And then there's Junkrat, who's the token Australian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's, like, this weird guy whose hair's, like, a little bit on fire and... Like, his catchphrases are the best, and I love that, like, if you're running around as any character, I'm mostly playing Farrah, who is, like, kind of serious. Her main catchphrase is Justice Reigns from Above. But
she's
she's
the hover pharaoh, pretty much?
Yeah.
Like a robot Egyptian woman?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Which is a weird thing.
She was the last one I played. That is a fun character to play
She
as.
Took me a really, really long time to get good at, because I was used to playing as characters that were, I guess, like, more like the soldier, or... I played a fair bit of Bastion and I played a bunch of McCree, so they're like kind of shooter characters, whereas you have to play Farrah in a way that's you just move constantly and on a controller you're just like constantly toggling the fly so that she's like moving around just really erratically so no one can target her and you're trying to aim from above. And it took me a while to figure out that I had to play it like Quake, but when I got that I was like, oh, this is the best. Playing as her and hearing her catchphrase compared to like having a Junkrat nearby who's like, it's a good day for mayhem, and probably my favorite of his is if at first you don't succeed, blow it up again. Like, it's just really cool hearing other characters just, like, shouting things in the middle of a battle and knowing what ultimate is being used at what time.
It's so impressive that, like, the characters are so vastly different in terms of, like, what they look like and sort of the worlds that they would be pulled from. But they all mesh together in the same way, like, Nintendo sort of did that with Smash Brothers, where you have all these different characters, but sort
of, like,
uniform.
It's like the Disney Infinity
Disney
figures
Infinity.
Line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All this different stuff that's been, like, kind of stylized.
Yeah, like, Luke Skywalker can stand next to Mickey Mouse, who can stand next to Iron Man.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done a really, really good job of that.
That's really cool. I think it's interesting that, you know, it's one thing to have different types of attacks and stuff and the balancing surrounded with that, but to have some characters who can fly or that, that bow and arrow ninja fellow who can climb up walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I was totally expecting that to be, like, a very specific, like, certain walls he can walk on, but then I ran straight. He's like, and I was like, oh, I'm up here now. Like, I could totally, like, snipe people up here. And
I can't imagine how difficult it is to design levels that aren't like, oh, well, this level can, you know, be exploited by this character because of this ability. Like,
I don't think the level design is that great, but... I mean, there are certain levels where I will start playing as Farrah and then be like, this isn't working. Like,
I mean,
this isn't going to work because this is enclosed. There's not, like, a lot of room for me to fly around.
Yeah.
This person can put turrets here and here, and I can't combat those very well. So there are certain levels where I will swap out of a certain character. Like,
I mean, it's Blizzard.
Which is great that you can do that pretty much.
After every death?
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time Blizzard, like, you know, shipped a game and they were like, yeah, it's done. We're good. Next thing. You know, it's like they usually have continuous
almost
support.
Games and services.
Yeah.
You know.
And people are complaining about, you know, certain characters being OP, like Bastion, who whenever I play Bastion, who is basically a cool robot man.
With a bird on him?
With a nice bird on him.
Put a bird on it?
He's got a bird on it. Just a really murderous bird.
Yeah, okay. All birds are murderous.
Basically, Bastion has multiple forms, three forms that just, there's one where you could literally turn into a stationary turret and you can just kill people just before they even notice you're there. And I tend to get, like, plus 10 play kill streaks every single time that I play as him. It's very, very easy to do that as Bastion. I don't know if that's catered to me or if it's that character specifically, but, like, really often gets player of the game. And I think to the extent where they need to kind of level Bastion down a
little
bit.
Which I'm sure they will.
They will, too.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been complaining about Bastion. I've seen people tweet at Blizzard being like, Bastion's too OP. You need to fix Bastion. But they're just like, have you tried countering with Genji? And you get, like, tips basically every single time that someone kills you or... it's probably if they kill you the same way a certain amount of times, and it'll be like, try countering this character by doing this. So they tell you that.
Yeah, I sort of like that rock, scissors, paper mentality, too, of like, well, this character is...
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Rock. It's scissors, paper, rock.
It's rock, scissors, paper.
It's definitely scissors,
rock, paper, scissors.
Well, actually, the website's called... It's RPS, right? So rock, paper, shotgun.
Right, so rock, paper, scissors. See?
Rock, scissors, paper.
I like how we use that
what
website.
What is wrong with you?
Anyway... Continue.
I don't know what I was saying. Anyway.
Oh, how it's rock, scissors, paper. how characters, like, they have abilities where it's like, well, like you said, there's the dude who turns into a turret and he's mowing down everything. But if you play as a character who can deflect things,
oh,
like,
yeah,
that,
absolutely. Like, yeah, everyone has a really good counter, which changes your play style as well. It's just super fun because you have to adapt so much, which isn't that common in shooters. But yeah, also a lot of character. Like you said, they are kind of like Pokemon.
Yeah. I want action figures of them very badly.
Oh, same.
They need to make action figures.
Jeez, yeah. I mean, if this blows up, like...
I think they will, for sure. And I actually may have seen something where they had already started working on that.
No, also, they ship these statues. Like, they're very the kind of open. Ones, yeah, they made these giant action figure statues that they're putting out, and I love that they're just like, yeah, this game's about toys, pretty much.
Yeah.
These toy people.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I think this game's going to do incredibly well sales-wise, just given anecdotally how many people in this office and how many people I follow on Twitter who are playing this.
I mean, I don't really like multiplayer games in general. Like, I mean, I played The Division and Rainbow Six Siege a bunch this year, but in general, I get a lot more hooked on single-player experiences, and at the moment, I'm not like, oh, I'm going to go finish Doom. I'm like, oh, I want to play more Overwatch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, I'm super hooked on it.
Man,
what do you guys think of that battle board?
That's the other thing I was going to say.
Sorry,
like,
what's that?
Man, I feel bad.
I feel bad for them, too.
For whatever reason, I just never cared about that, and I did care about Overwatch. I guess that's marketing.
Yeah, the difference is that, like, and we've seen this with, with Borderlands, like, they release endless volleys of, like, updates of being we've revealed a new level, we revealed a new character, here's the new, and it's just like... It gets you tired of it, whereas Blizzard is so much better at that. Like, we got two copies of Overwatch in the office. I think we had trouble getting beta codes, you know? Like, they're better at... It's that difference between, like...
Less is more.
Ubisoft and Rockstar in terms of, like, showing stuff off, you know?
That's actually a good point. Like, I wonder if releasing beta codes stops people from buying a game. Because they're like, I got the beta and I didn't it. Like, Fable Legends, I probably wouldn't have bought that after the beta was open for so long. Like,
I mean, I think one of Battleborn's problems was that it's just one of those games that was a victim of being announced too early.
Yeah,
and then
getting
delayed.
I mean,
like, almost
with
a year
Watch
and a half. Totally, yeah. Whereas with Overwatch, like, it was revealed, I think, BlizzCon a year or two ago, or Gamescom or something, and they showed a ton of footage, and it was like, oh, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
And then it went radio silent for a little while, and then it was like, all right, there's an alpha. All right, there's a beta. All right, we're good.
Yeah.
It's out now.
They weren't like, here's a great new look at, there's a salute to this character.
Yeah.
It's a dev diary about how we made these turrets or whatever.
I mean, it's kind of like how Disney does trailers.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, they just show you a really small amount of what you want to see, so you want to see more. That could be why. I don't care about Battleborn in the slightest.
On the subject, I'm glad Andrew's not here. So on the subject of things that have been taking too long to come out, No Man's Sky is delayed again. That's coming out in August, August 12th or August 10th.
A pretty solid delay.
God, I hate when they do this. It's coming out in North America on August 9th, in Europe on August 10th, and in UK on August 12th.
Why does it say Europe and then it says UK? It doesn't make sense.
What a stupid... Just stop it. We all read the same internet.
Yeah.
Go to hell.
I mean, that's sort of a bummer. Like, we were all looking forward to getting back from E3 and playing this at the end of June. And
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I sent a bunch of death threats over it, so...
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That was me. Sorry, guys.
What the helps?
And to Jason Schreier, too. Yeah.
Hello, games. More like goodbye, games.
Sounds
because
good.
I'm coming to get you.
Oh, no.
He's so
nice.
Axe.
Sean Murray is so nice, though.
Sean Murray, you have delayed the game. I'm angry and upset.
I mean, it sucks that it's delayed a month and a half, but I'm like, well, what, like, it's fine. I don't know. It's summer.
I've been trying to sort of...
I'm not surprised.
Just, yeah, it seems like an incredibly massive game.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I've spoken about this before, but I'm worried about No Man's Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
No matter what that game is, it's going to be a letdown.
I mean...
For some people.
It's, when it was first announced, I was amazed. I feel like most people probably were. I was like, this is incredible. Technically, still very impressive, but everything we've seen of it since then looks exactly the same. It's like, okay, sure, maybe there's a whole lot of planets, but if they all look exactly the same, why do I want to explore them?
Also, I don't know if this is correct. Someone was telling me this, but when you visit a planet and you check it out, you can't really go back to it. It becomes like a different planet. Is that?
I don't think that's right.
Okay.
No, I think it's that when you visit a planet, you can name it, and then it's the same for everyone.
Yeah.
But if no one's been to a planet, then I think it stays randomly generated.
Okay. I don't know. It's
Which is still impressive tech.
Super impressive tech. That's the thing.
If I have
like,
that right.
This is the most, like, it's insane how much this game is built on, like, weird math and science that I don't understand. I mean, I guess that's every video game if you boil it down. But just.
We don't know how they make We're talking
how
about
do they
them,
make
not making
these?
Them.
Incredible. I mean. I'm totally fine with the game getting delayed a month and a half for extra polish and everything, but...
It's not like we have time to play it anyway.
No, exactly.
It was coming out like the week before or the week of E3.
And it was funny. Dan Stapleton, our reviews editor, was literally going to stay home from E3 to review the game. And I was like, well, now you can stay home and be on home duty. Yeah, that works.
Yay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, are you like... We talked before, I think even a week or two ago, about Mighty No. 9, about how each sort of nickel and diming delay got us less and less excited. I mean, you could say the same thing about Battleborn or like Evolve. Yeah. And I'm a little bit worried that the same thing's going to happen with No Man's Sky. That like, we hit peak excitement long before the game came out.
That's definitely true. I think No Man's Sky is a little bit different in that it's so unique. It's a very unique game.
Yeah.
Whereas Battleborn was immediately competing with a TF2 kind of, which is something that's been around forever that a lot of gamers are familiar with already. And then there's Overwatch stories. No Man's Sky doesn't have a parallel, so it's, I mean, my interest is still there and then I'm very curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it hadn't been revealed so long ago and we hadn't like seen pieces of it rolled out through their marketing campaign, then I probably wouldn't have the idea that I think the game's probably going to be boring.
Yeah,
so it's like kind of split.
Yeah, and I mean, people still are stoked for it. Like any videos we put up on it, multiple IGN firsts have done incredibly well.
Yeah.
Just because people also, there's still so many question marks around it. Like, what is this game?
Because we don't understand what it is yet.
Yeah.
Isn't there supposed to be something awesome in the center of the universe?
They said something, when you get to the center of the universe, there's something amazing. Cool. Yeah. My prediction was that it's just going to be our solar system.
That'd be pretty cool. So what if it's just like a really embarrassingly out of date meme?
Dat boy?
Like it's like, no, I mean the older, like it's like.
Dat girl?
Cat and a kitty cat and a dance and a dance.
I don't know what that is.
It's the Numa Numa guy.
Oh, remember that? Jeez.
Oh, you just get there and it plays that file.
You're just like, what? Why?
Why did
something
you do
something special?
Maybe that's why they delayed the game, because they wanted to update
Goatsy.
The memes.
The center of the universe. Yeah. So I don't know. I really want to be excited about that, but I'm completely just like, yeah. I'll believe it when I play it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My attitude towards delays is generally, yay, make it better. So, except in the case of Mighty No. 9.
Yeah.
But for this, it's like, if it needs a delay that will make the game better, or if there was a bug that we would have had to deal with, if it weren't delayed, then I'm totally happy for games to be
delayed. Yeah. Also, like, I've never hit a point in my adult life where I'm like, I have nothing to consume right now. It's like, nope, I have way too many games and movies and TV shows and books.
Maybe there's not that much coming out in August, so it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Last Guardian is a game about a boy
and a big dog bird.
It's a bird dog.
A big old doggy bird.
Trico.
Bird and a dog. Cam played the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, we have a go check out his piece and his videos. It's part of IGN First this month. But yeah, he played the opening 45 minutes. And a lot of it was sort of based on the stuff we've seen at E3 and at previous reveals. Mm-hmm. But a couple of things I found super interesting was that
You
get a car, yeah.
Of
and
course.
The car's name is Henry, and it talks.
It's a strange accent. BMW Z3.
That's not a real car.
Yeah, it is.
Three Zs?
Yeah.
Is it sleepy?
It's a very sleepy car.
But the whole game is framed around you are the main character as an old man recounting the story of when you were a child and met the bird dog. And so there's sort of
this
narration where you're talking about it. And it begins with you wake up in this chamber and Trico is chained to the ground, like the chains going into this well, which was like the first imagery they showed from the game like 9 years ago. But one of the things I found super interesting is, like, obviously, it seems like he's chained there because he's prisoned.
Yeah, it is a giant abomination. I think it would make sense to tie it up a little
but
bit.
But what's scary... What I thought was spooky was that you get this mirror shield that you could sort of, like, you point it, and it fires off sort of a marker at a thing. And the first time you do that, Trico shoots, like, lightning out of his tail and destroys a wall. And so I'm like, oh, this thing was probably actually put there because he's a weapon.
Yeah.
What if Trico kills you at the end of the game?
Why would you be narrating it if you're dead?
That's a good point.
Yeah. What about film noir?
In a serious bit of commentary, is the
narration is it in English? Like, is it? Do we know?
I imagine if it's anything like the other games, it's in a fictional language with subtitles.
That's a real big corner to cut for, you know, localization.
That's true.
Just make up a little language.
Yep.
Yeah,
and that's why. Yeah, because he yells bird dog too.
Bird dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, isn't Bud Dog's name Trico?
Yes.
Because it was originally Project Trico, right?
Yeah.
And then it was The Last Guardian.
Yeah.
So I'm not... Okay. Just like, just making sure I'm not making that up. I also like that it has Ico in it.
Yeah. And Shadow of the Colossus was originally called Nico.
Oh. Really?
It was going to be a multiplayer game where four people, it was almost like Monster Hunter, where four people are taking down Colossi.
Wow.
Which would have been really cool.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I'd still play that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Sony still, they still say this game is on track for 2016, which is exciting because all signs are pointing towards Horizon being delayed till next year. So that's sort of like, there is no big...
That's not a surprise at all.
No, totally not.
Because we really haven't seen much of Horizon at all. Like, we've just seen that same kind of
that
instance
single
from
demo.
Different...
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that game looks good.
Yeah, it looks awesome. And so, I mean, I'm sure that'll be a... Well, it will definitely be at E3 because it's already... That billboard's already on the side of...
Have you heard anything about Wild lately?
No. Since there was that demo at... Was it Paris Games Week? Yeah. I haven't seen anything since then. Mm. I mean, that game... Yeah, the game should be out this year.
I mean, it looked really good when I saw it at Paris Games
Week. Oh, there's a big naked snake woman? Remember that?
Wild? It's going out this year, really?
I don't know. Like, that was announced.
The game's pretty ambitious.
Wasn't that PSX that they were showing that off?
No, they showed it at Paris Games Week.
Okay.
But it was fully revealed like a year before that.
Yeah.
Like, it was revealed at a Gamescom I was at, which is like 2014, I think.
Yeah, I feel that's a ways off. It seems like one of those things is kind of, I don't know. I just get the vibe from it.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't
I do
seem
too, kind of.
Also, it's Michel Ancel, and he makes games very slowly, meticulously.
They're huge games, and they got big naked snake women in them.
Yeah. I thought the snakes were the
snake
penises,
has some
though.
Big honkers.
Are there girl snakes?
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest
problem with that game,
I think.
They're called lizards.
All lizards, all girls.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with that game, I think, with Wild, is that it doesn't have any narrative. It's like, what is compelling you to go and round up all these
you
animals?
Make up your narrative.
How do you know it doesn't have... Have they said it doesn't
have
any
narrative? Well, kind of.
Have they said that?
Yeah.
Oh.
They said that at Paris Games Week. It was like a... What's the story going to be? And I think that they probably gave me a loose answer that was along the lines of, we want to just focus on the players.
What
they,
actually?
They,
no,
they,
I think
they literally
I think
said
awesome.
That they weren't going to have...
Story.
I love that, because I kind of hate when games shove story down your throat.
But then
when
what's the... What, why?
Playing them.
I don't
They're
know,
interactive.
Minecraft.
Like, you're
Minecraft
making your own
story.
Story. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Overwatch doesn't have a story.
So
I mean, like, my favorite
With
stuff growing up was...
that kind of game, it just feels different.
Like... Originally, Lego didn't have stories. Like, they weren't tied to franchises. They were just like,
so you made your own story.
Here's some pirates. Here's a spaceman. And you use your imagination. And that's kind of been noticeably pretty absent from games because they've always become like, they're like, yeah, but then, I mean, I love, you know, I love playing like Far Cry because it's like the stuff that happens in between. Like, you've got a loose kind of framework to play in, but it's as far as it being like, it's almost generic enough that you can be like, yeah.
Like, Far Cry 3 and 4, aside from Voss and, Who's the other bad guy? Who's the bad guy in 4?
Pagan Min.
Like, aside from those dudes who, like, are super memorable and have really great performances, like, I don't really remember the story of either of them. I remember hating the main dude in 3.
Jason Brody and all of his great friends who
I just
are
remember,
really likable?
I just remember wanting really bad things to happen to him and his family.
All my favorite parts of those games are the stuff that happens between the cutscenes and the dialogue.
Like, those are the stories where you come in the morning.
I totally agree with that, but I think I just like having... I'm going to go do this, but I know that that marker's over there. I don't have anything to do. Let's go do the marker. Oh, I'm going to go do this now. Like, it's like having some kind of loose structure gets me through something where, like, in Minecraft, I am like, I'm going to build this, and then I'm going to build this thing on the side of it, and, like, I just set goals and keep setting goals.
Sure.
For a game like Wild, it's like,
we can write you
I have all the animals.
We can write you a big list of goals if you want.
Well, what if you don't know what the animals are? You know, this is one thing that I do find really appealing about FromSoft games is the fact that they don't like beat you over the head with like an opening cutscene being like, and here's what I mean. Do they? They don't really.
I mean, they have like
a
weird,
like a little
archaic cinematic.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
No.
And then suddenly you're just like, oh man, obviously I fight the skeletons because they're not trying to sell me anything. This is a video game, so you know either the skeletons are going to sell you stuff or they're going to
fight you.
Yeah, there's two types of people in the world: those who try to sell you things and those you murder.
There
are these skeletons or skeletons?
Sellingtons.
But no, like I kind of love the idea of
an RPG. They give you a quest. Well, you kill them.
Like, I love a game that's just a sandbox where you're like, yeah, you get animal wizard powers. How you get them, that's kind of up to you.
Yeah.
Like, look at, I mean...
But then what do you do with them?
You make love to the big, large snake woman.
How do you... How
oh, it's a sex simulator?
Probably.
Oh.
I don't know, maybe you gotta, like, unlock a bunch of weird stuff to get... Maybe it's like...
I think, I totally agree and that I'm happy to make my own narrative. Like, that's how I play The Sims. But just from what I've seen of Wild being played, it just seems very absent.
Okay.
But it's also been a very
early We haven't seen anything from it, really, so...
I mean, I have.
Okay. But I mean, it looks like... They showed us that demo where it's like Far Cry, but with owls.
Yes.
Or more owls, like, more than the last one.
Yeah, we had, like, a behind-closed-doors gameplay session, and it just... You know, it just really wasn't very much to do, and we were asking a lot of questions, and they were like, yeah, I mean, you can possess this thing if you want. there's a lot of mountains. Did you see that we have cliff edges?
Edges?
How do you feel about snakes?
I feel strongly.
I have a lot of different feelings about snakes.
Yeah?
Mixed?
How do you feel about Yoda's snake?
That's cool. We have snakes.
A question to ask Brian, really.
Yeah.
Brian's Yoda's snake?
Yeah. Yoda has a snake that he's made. He's made love on.
We have to talk about this so much here. It's really infuriating.
He's made love inside of it.
Hey, look who decided to show up.
Andrew, we're talking
about... Hey, it's the No Man's Sky
of podcast
guests.
We're talking about Yoda's snake.
I thought you were going to be delayed until August.
We're talking about Yoda's snake. Do you have any opinions on Yoda's
snake? Andrew Goldfarb has entered the podcasting room for those of you listening. It's just the audio.
Hi, everybody.
We run a tight ship here.
That's not the mic. Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
How's it going? We're talking about Wild.
Yes.
Oh. Like the Reese Witherspoon movie with the boots?
Yeah. Yeah, about the heroin addict who goes on a very long walk.
Is that what that's about?
I think so.
Yeah, there's a lot of product placement in that movie.
Weird.
I'm excited for Wild.
Alana's not because she's a jerk and hates French people.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why.
That's what I got from your accent.
I hate French people. No, I'm actually going
like
to
Montreal. If Far Cry Primal had no story, I would love that game so much more because that was this man kept trying to make me drink out of a bowl.
Wild is so similar to Far Cry Primal that it's concerning.
Yeah.
Like they were like, we have this idea, and Ubisoft like, yoink, and then they're like, we don't exclusively have this idea.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the Patrice Desilets caveman game.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cavemen are coming back.
Yeah.
We're bringing it back. Wait, it's a blast from the past,
Isn't that what Wild is?
No. There's the one that's called like
Wild's Michel Ancel.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry.
You're thinking of the other French dude who made a cool Ubisoft.
I forget what his game is called. The trailer for that one is really cool.
Mankind something?
Yes.
Where it's like an episodic game on the evolution of man. Like you start as a caveman and you probably become like a businessman or something.
It's year something? It's based, the name is a year?
I don't know. You're thinking of 1666.
I am, you're right.
Which is the game, yeah.
Which is also Patrice Desilets.
Yeah, that's the right guy.
Yeah, it's the same person.
Yeah, that was the one where I started talking about Dutch Masters and everyone got mad at me because I was talking about...
When you say Dutch Masters, it makes me think of a sex thing.
It's called Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey.
That makes me think of a sex thing, too.
Hey, guys, it's been a second since we talked about tactical military gun stuff, and I get real bored if that doesn't happen. So Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon got a new trailer, and that game looks really, really fun. And I don't really usually give a darn about those Tom Clancy games. The Tom Clancy-verse has been kind of a thing that is... I like those Harrison Ford movies.
Bro, you didn't like Rainbow Six?
I think Rainbow Six has one of the most colorful, fun-sounding names and is like one of the most like there's nothing rainbow about those guys. They should get like cool wizard powers.
I like how you were expecting Magnificent Seven, but with six guys wearing rainbow clothes.
Rainbow Six sounds like Power Rangers.
Magnificent Seven,
fabulous.
I love Rainbow Six.
The title is the most cheerful thing, the most interesting thing about this.
Rainbow Six Vegas is incredible.
Yes,
right?
Vegas 1 and 2, and they're like super colorful. And you just blow
and
apart
it's weird
launches.
Because they were. The shooter for so long. Like, I feel like Call of Duty kind of took that crown away from them. But, like, for a little bit there, Rainbow Six was, like, the go-to shooter for people.
Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, I think it's really bizarre that, I mean, obviously you've got, like, you've got Splinter Cell. Rainbow Six, they're,
Siege is a very good game, but it's not necessarily what a lot of people wanted.
People want, like...
I mean, they wanted Patriots, I think. They wanted, like, a big story.
Right. It's Patriots. Tactical. But considering it's got the branding of a famous author on it, I feel like there's not typically an emphasis on story. It's more about, like, tactical approach to things.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Tom Clancy edition.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a thing eventually, where they're just like, Tom Clancy, the video game. Maybe it'll be like you're just a cool writer boy.
You just got to write a whole novel.
It's a Alan Wake.
Yeah, so that's
Well, you definitely don't want that.
I don't want that at all.
So that said, Ghost Recon Wildlands looks more like 4-player third-person Far Cry than...
Yeah, it looks like Far Cry with fewer story restraints, honestly. It looks like you can just kind of do whatever. Like, I mean, we haven't really seen that much gameplay. Hopefully we will in 3. But like, to me, it looks like it's basically like... all outposts if you want it to be.
And they very much like every mission they were like it can be tackled like 30 different ways, so you can take this outpost like under the cover of night or wait for a storm to pass
thing,
by.
That's awesome.
I want to wait and see though is does the Tom Clancy name mean this is going to be like very like
serious
unforgiving like get it right or you're dead kind of thing, or is it going to be like kind of Far Cry where if maybe you're getting shot a lot you can go hide in a bush and set everything on fire and then run away and stab the thing and break your own thumb
unleash
to help
a tiger
yourself.
On some people.
The Tom Clancy brand is so all over the place. Like I always forget The Division is a Tom Clancy game because it's not like I don't think it really means anything honestly. It's just like tactical military stuff that's Tom Clancy
what was the,
on
what
it
was
but...
one game that was all voice command Hawks no
the
End War
Tom Hawks was
End
one
War.
Of them
no Hawks was like a vehicle game but there's End
the
War,
one that
which
was
a strategy game that was all voice based voice command based
We played that at an event we played a game like that at something
you were thinking of
the one where I got real sweaty. It's the Ubisoft event where I just could not stop sweating.
I
was in the back corner.
That was a really good event.
Really weird. Yeah, really weird.
It's a good story.
It's a really good story. You just sweat so much.
It's really not that good.
Why'd you get so sweaty?
I don't know. It remains a mystery. No, we were standing still in an air-conditioned room.
Did you have a fever?
Was it the voice command?
I just got very nervous about all those voice commands. I got the vapors.
So I watched the trailer like just before walking in here and don't really know what it is. Based on that trailer, I'm like, I don't really know what this game is.
What do you mean?
I mean, it just had a lot of explosions and
looks like Far Cry Outpost, but it's the Devil's Cartel.
I mean, there's definitely gonna be a whole lot of drugs, which is also some of my favorite parts of Far Cry.
Yeah,
the drug trips.
And the first trailer for it was all coke and blood.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
like the last year E3 trailer for it was just a bunch of
cocaine and
bloody
blood.
Coke
it's,
and cokey blood.
It's set in Bolivia, which I'm excited about.
Yeah,
because it's. I was thinking it was going to be Mexico because I don't know. I don't know if that's racist or.
Did
just,
you do a racist?
Was that racist? I don't
Maybe.
Know. I guess. Well, no. There's because there's they're frequently like when you talk about cartels, I feel like it's often like the. You know, kind of border watch stuff, like people
El
smuggling,
Chapo?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, but like. Bolivia is interesting because you get much more of a variety and like climate. You know, you get like they've shown off they've screens where you're in like an Arctic spot and there's like deserts and there's jungles and like that's really fun for me.
Yeah,
I'm getting a little bit of a Phantom Pain vibe from this, which is kind of weird to say because I drew so heavily.
Yeah, no,
from,
I see that.
But I mean, like, I really want this to be awesome. I'm just super wary. Like, I hope that it lets you have fun.
Yeah.
Rather than just be
Tom Clancy games definitely do have a habit of taking themselves very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
excepting maybe some of the original Splinter Cell.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. Like Ryan was like, "No, the original games were super funny." I'm like, I don't know.
I wouldn't call them funny, but I think they had a little bit more.
You know, what would be a sick
game.
Would
jokes
be,
in them.
R.L. Stine's Ghost Recon.
I could definitely get behind R.L. Stine's Ghost Recon.
We were watching the Jack Black Goosebumps a little bit in a bar last night, and that movie's very strange.
Yeah. Is it funny?
I mean, like...
He plays R.L. Stine.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it was on mute with subtitles, but it was just really weird. It was like... we kept looking up, and there were Stranger Things attacking them. So first, there was a big white werewolf, and then it was a scary marionette man, and then it was
Night of
different
the Living
werewolf.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Monster
well, the,
Blood.
The
yeah. Cheese and Die.
Oh, my God. I
Deep
haven't thought
Trouble.
About those books in a very long time.
Deep Trouble 2.
Evidently, Max thought about
Deep
them recently.
Deep Trouble 3.
Okay, that just sounds gross.
Yeah. They kind of were like pornos.
The Deep Trouble 3 are my favorite spinoff of
Monster
the Rainbow
House.
Six.
Is it Welcome to Dead House? Is that
Deep
it?
Trouble.
Wait, Monster House was the movie that Dan Harmon wrote.
No, I wasn't thinking of that then.
Oh.
I was thinking Welcome to Dead House.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
We're talking
but,
about Goosebumps. Did you guys not have Goosebumps?
Yeah,
hey,
Goosebumps.
Speaking of Coke and blood, what about blood and wine?
That's actually really good.
Oh, yeah, hey, that was a good one.
Max, are you stoked for this?
Yeah, let's get down for the awesome CD Projekt Red flavor challenge. We're going to blindfold you guys and see if you can tell the difference between the taste of blood and the taste of wine. Not really. That's Witcher DLC that's coming out.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
comes out this week. And it's insane because it is massive.
Yeah, the map is like the same size as the original map.
It's,
almost?
Yeah, it's totally
huge.
Not fair that they're calling this DLC. This should be considered an expansion pack.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's correct.
And even like you look and like visually it looks so distinct. Like it almost looks like Alice in Wonderland with like really bright, vibrant colors and like weird flora and fauna.
I'm really excited about this. It looks very fairy tale heavy. Like obviously, like that seems like it seems like they're doing less the. Like, the Wild Hunt was kind of like dark, war-torn fantasy country, but this seems more like, oh, you are the weird woodsman, which is kind of Geralt's role. Mm-hmm. There is a... It's cool. I actually just watched the teaser for Beauty and the Beast, and
I'm
way more interested in that than I should be.
It's a pretty good-looking teaser.
Yeah.
Did you know it's like shot for shot the teaser of the original?
Oh, really?
One? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I saw this
that
like side
cool.
by side. I'm like, oh, that's rad.
Nice.
That's really cool.
But anyway, like, I realize it sounds like we're going off topic for all you people who want to talk about Geralt stabbing stuff. The short stories... The Last Wish, the first kind of collection of Witcher book stories, has one that is like basically Beauty and the Beast. It doesn't tell you that. It's just sort of like an awkward retelling of it. In the same way that
That's
you
really
know
cool.
you would basically you encounter like you
is
know,
Geralt the Beast or the Beauty?
He's neither. You meet the Beast basically. And he's talking about his like marital problems because he keeps having ladies come live with him, and he's like, "I'm a monster. What do I do?" You know. But I really kind of hope it does more of that sort of things. Like, I really like the parts in Witcher 3 that were like, oh, maybe you've got to go talk to the old witch, or like you got to save a goat or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff
that feels like fairy tales, like Hansel and Gretel.
And it might still get gruesome, and you still kill something with a sword, but like.
That's like every grim fairy tale.
No, I absolutely understand that.
Yeah.
I love The Witcher 3. That's the game that gave me tendonitis, which is why I have to wear a wrist brace.
I feel like you shouldn't love it.
I loved it so much that it gave me wrist problems from repetitive.
You only hurt the ones you love, and they only hurt you back.
That's just you, Amber. That's not normal, but I very rarely get into single-player DLC. I did a lot with Fallout 3, but pretty rarely do because in my head I'm always like, but why would I continue to play this game despite how much I loved it when I could play something else?
Yeah.
But this one I might actually go and play.
Yeah,
like, so it looks distinct enough that it looks like an experience that is different.
Basically. Yeah, so I kind of wanted to talk about that. Like, what... Like, this is being reviewed super well, and, like, this Witcher DLC is incredible. Like, what are the other... You said Fallout 3, but, like, what are the major DLCs that you've, like, actually gotten into and are like, oh, man, this is amazing?
I mean, the big two for me are Lair of the Shadow Broker from Mass Effect 2 and...
Larry the Shadow Broker?
Lair of?
Lair
the
of.
Shadow Broker?
Lair of Croft?
Mass Effect 3, that's what it's called. I could be wrong. But from Mass Effect 2, yeah. And then... the Minerva's Den for Bioshock yeah. 2. Or to yeah, me, those Minerva's are like Den. The...
Yeah, mine would be Burial at Sea from Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, yeah.
Fallout really 3 good. For sure. I loved all
I mean, that's
that DLC.
The, yeah, Burial at Sea, especially Part 2, and Minerva's Den are my two favorite Bioshock things, like more so than the games proper.
Oh, dude,
yeah.
Me too, totally. I yeah. way so much prefer Burial at Sea than Bioshock Infinite, like by a mile.
Although Minerva's Den is really long.
I didn't play Minerva's Den.
It's incredible. Awesome. I mean, it's also like, it's that team went on to make Gone Home.
Yeah, I think the thing about those is that Bioshock has just a lot of shooting that's just padding. It's like filler episodes in anime. It's just like a lot of stuff that's like, we need to drag out this game and make it longer. So they just make you shoot a lot. Those, like Burial at Sea, basically has the same story and the same impact, but with less padding. So it's a lot shorter, and maybe you wouldn't have wanted to pay full price for it, but it's like just a compact version of that one thing.
Yeah, there's like an art and a brevity.
Yeah, so I think that's like that has appeal. It also looked very different because obviously it's in a different place. Fallout's appeal was partly that, again, took you to a different place with one of those DLCs, but it also let you continue playing the game.
Yeah, and it let you see other parts of... Because you got to see, like, Pittsburgh and that... I mean, it was, like, a simulation, I guess, but kind of Anchorage. And you could see, like, different parts of the world.
Anchorage honestly felt like a parody of Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
It felt like...
It was, like, a Pleasantville kind of thing,
too. There was that demo for Modern Warfare 2 where you're doing, like, some Arctic mission or whatever. And it totally felt like... Like, there was that kind of Pleasantville aspect where you're, like...
Yeah.
But it totally stripped away so many of the things that make Fallout Fallout. Like, there was just, like, the same kind of set of guns. And you're like, oh, yeah, go shoot the guy. And you're like... I mean, who plays Fallout for the shooting, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's weird how many of those DLCs take away your stuff. New Vegas kind of did that too, like that first one where you're wearing like the choke collar or whatever when you, like, you go too far. Like, it's really interesting having you spend 300 hours in a game getting an inventory, getting everything you want and making your character and getting to max level. And then in the DLCs, you just like don't use that character for some of them. I always found that really interesting.
Yeah.
I really like this is a lame answer, but I really like the Skyrim DLC for Hearthfire, where you got a house and an orphan.
Oh, dude, I love that kind of stuff.
The house and the
dude,
orphan.
Dude, I totally love that orphan? Kind of stuff.
You go catch an orphan. You go down the city, and you just, like, lure a child back to your home.
That sounds horrible.
And then they hang out in your house, and you can just, like, you just shout at the walls and knock over all your crap.
I feel like this is worse when you're, like, laughing.
This stupid little kid who came to live in your log cabin is just like, he's just like... Daddy, you're home! And you're like, oh, God! There's this, like, wooden balls flying all over the place. You try to set the kid on fire, and they're just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I'm so down with building-related DLC.
Yeah.
So down with that.
What if every game had DLC where you could get a house and steal a child?
It's not the child-stealing part, it's the house-building.
What's the point of building a house if you're not going to steal a child to put in there?
A house isn't a home without a stolen child.
I'm a dragonborn. I'm sterile, damn it.
I won't be able to conceive normally.
I thought it was pretty funny because I probably looked like a real, like, progressive, like I was an Argonian, so, like, so I'm, like, walking around with my human child, and they're like, I'm like, all right, Billy, it's time for your soccer game. Like, Dad, am I adopted? No! You're just bad at breathing underwater like your pops here. I like that there was that Skyrim DLC for that was like that spooky island. They were like, oh, go back
Far
to
Harbor?
The
Far Harbor. Oh no, Shivering Isle.
No, that was that was
what's
for,
Far Harbor then?
No, Far Harbor is the Fallout DLC that just came out.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Shivering Isles was the that was
yeah that was
Oblivion or Morrowind.
Yeah. Oblivion, I think.
Oblivion.
Wasn't there
yeah.
a Skyrim DLC that took you to a part of Morrowind?
Yeah, I think that that was it. Yeah, and it was like they hyped it up as being like, "Oh, you're finally going to get to ride some dragons."
Yeah,
and you did
like
it. Sucked.
One of them. Yeah.
That was rude.
It was super
yeah, dragonborn.
Lame. You kept fighting. Yeah, that was pretty cool because you got to go in the mushroom houses.
Yes,
and
it was pretty.
I like that. And then there were all these big floating men who looked like Cthulhu's.
Oh yeah,
they were
those
pretty
dudes.
Fun.
Yeah,
I had a good time with that, I guess.
Left Behind is also a good DLC.
That is a very good DLC.
Yeah.
Left Behind is an awesome DLC. So I guess it...
And what is that?
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was thinking like those...
The Kirk Cameron novels? Yeah.
But there's also like DLC that I really don't care about is all of the Arkham DLC. It's like, play as this character.
Most of it kind of sucks. And it's always exciting where it's like, oh, Robin, oh, Batgirl. Like, oh, this is terrible.
Like, I just don't care.
I was sort of excited by, like, there was the Arkham Knight DLC where you drive through almost like the set of Batman 89 and Batman Returns. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I'm like, it's just a driving
mission. It's just the driving part.
Yeah. Driving is the last thing I want to do.
That game does not need more driving. Yeah.
Like, the term DLC is so stupid because at this point, entire games are DLC.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't apply anymore. And then you have something like Blood and Wine, which is this entire new map. It's a full extra half a game, pretty much.
Yeah. I think you're right in saying it's an expansion.
And then at the same time, like, horse armor. Or, oh, I don't know, that thing that makes your gun pink.
Or anything in Dota.
Call of Duty, yeah.
You know, anything in Dota that's cosmetic. Yeah.
Like, cosmetic
all
garbage.
All Overwatch. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, like, it's totally deceptive. Like, I was really excited about the idea of playing, like, Arkham Knight with, like, Batman Returns or, you know, old school.
The
like,
skins?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, those are really cool.
That would make me like that
and, like,
game
I
more.
Mean, they're nice pre-order bonuses, which did come with all of the Arkham games, but that's still not what I want out of DLC.
Yeah,
but I think like, there was one that was a story one that I played where you played as, like, Harley Quinn or something.
Yeah, there was the Harley Quinn stuff for...
City, I think?
There's Catwoman stuff for City.
Wasn't that, like, a pre-order?
It was, if you pre-ordered, you could do that
mission
as Catwoman.
It was
Catwoman.
A per-order.
You might be right, though. I think there was Harley Quinn stuff later.
That's I mean, they had a bunch of different stuff, but, you know, that's the kind of DLC that I don't care about.
Arkham Knight did Harley Quinn DLC.
Right.
That was a prequel. And then
look at that. The first result is Arkham Knight's Harley Quinn DLC is terrible. Thank you, Kotaku.
There have been some good ones. I mean, obviously, full disclosure, I worked there, but I played it way before I did. Borderlands 2 had incredible DLC for months and months and months. The Tiny Tina DLC, super smart. You're playing like a Dungeons & Dragons game where the characters are narrating, and as they're narrating, the world around you changes. So
that
it's like they're telling
cool.
the story as you go. Like, that was really cool.
That might actually make me like Borderlands. I don't like Borderlands. Sorry.
You should play it. It's okay.
But maybe that DLC would make me like Borderlands.
That DLC is really smart. I would love to see them. It almost reminded me of what Tails did later. Because it's like sort of that unreliable narrator thing.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Did you play Tails on Borderlands?
No.
You should play that.
Yes. I've heard that's very, very good.
I didn't like Borderlands, and I think that's amazing.
I really find
Borderlands very boring.
Boring?
Yeah, that's why they call it that.
Boring Lands?
Then they put out Battle Boring.
Battle Boring?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
People are like, you just have to play it with a friend. And then I played it with... There are some people that you play games with who can't talk whilst playing games. So I played it with someone who was incapable of talking. So it was just like us sitting there and shooting things and looting. Like, this isn't really making
sense. Yeah. I played with somebody who was like, who'd played it like a million times. And they were like, here, I'll go take care of everything. And I was just like walking along and be like...
Yeah, I hate like,
just be like, here, I got you these guns. Like,
that's not, I think, for any game like that. Like, that's why I didn't want that for even Bloodborne or Dark Souls or anything. Like, I don't want people to come beat bosses for me because that's, like, not a fun experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's back to Fallout, and that's, like, when Fox, if you have Fox as a companion, just kills everything. You're like, damn it, Fox!
And he gets stuck in a doorway and you have to reload a save because you
and
can't get around
him.
And
he tells you to kill yourself.
How was the Bloodborne DLC? I haven't played it.
The old Hunters. It was really good. Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Give you a new weapon, it's a mop handle.
Yeah, it's just a weird handle of a mop.
It's not even a handle, it's just like the mop
does
part.
Does the Taken King count as DLC, or is that an expansion?
What does that term mean?
I would think that's an expansion.
Yeah, but that's as much as...
But it's like a
Blood and Wine.
Yeah.
Sleeping Dogs had...
Oh, that had DLC.
Some of the best DLC.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. That had an entire one that was all like... what was it? Nightmare in North Point. It's so good, because it's basically like Big Trouble in Little China meets Thriller. Like, it literally opens up, and you're, like, you're playing as, like, the main dude, and you're, like, walking out of a movie theater, like, in the music video for Thriller, and you're
that's
like,
awesome.
She's like, that's a pretty scary movie, and then you fight, like, hopping Chinese
that's
vampires,
awesome. Yeah. Wow.
And then you have to go on this mission where they're, like, you go, like, you see, like, old Salty Crab, it's, like, this gross guy you, like, break into an old lady's house with in the game, and he's like, oh, I'll make you a mystical potion, I'm gonna need the following ingredients, and you have to get, like, weird, like, white... carrot root or something, and then like antifreeze, and then you have to drink it, and you get like crazy kung fu powers.
That's incredible.
It's super amazing. Fun.
That sounds incredible. Also, that actually just reminded me of one of my favorites, which was Undead Nightmare for Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, totally.
It was obviously incredible.
Yeah, again, is that DLC?
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost like a, it's like a standalone thing.
Game,
yeah, yeah.
So it's totally different.
And Infamous 2, what was it? Festival of Blood, Vampire
there was
one.
Infamous
First Light.
Yeah, that was really good too. I feel like we should also talk about some of the worst DLC. My vote goes to Saints Row: Get Out of Hell. That was very bad.
Is that the, that's where like you're in hell,
yes.
right?
Saints Row 4, and you just go to hell, and it's
yeah.
really bad.
Yeah.
It's very ugly.
Yeah.
But wasn't there one, he plays a superhero? What is that one?
That's Saints Row 4, the game.
Oh, that's the full game. Okay.
Saints Row got so confusing with DLC and expansions and then full games and all that
stuff.
I mean,
Get Out of Hell was another thing where you bought it separately. Like as
didn't that start out as like it was going to be DLC, and then they were like, no, it's a full new game.
I don't know how they marketed it.
I think that's how they did it. I can't even remember.
Yeah, it was announced. That's what, yeah, you're right. It was announced as a DLC, and then it became Saints Row 4.
But it was... Wait, what?
Yeah, they announced... Here, hold on.
What?
Stop no, Get Out of Hell is 5.
It doesn't matter. Just go full email us if we're wrong. Just close your laptop.
Get Out of Hell would, in theory,
I'm doing E3 planning.
Yes,
there was a Saints Row 4.
You're on a podcast right now. Also, Brian's not here, because he's interviewing the Lonely Island.
I bet he's having a lot of fun.
They made a hot rod.
The Lonely Island Man of Hot Rod is a very strange sentence, but it's also correct.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like a sentence you would say in order to like initiate someone's assassination mode. The Lonely Island made a hot rod. Yeah. They start putting together a sniper rifle.
You
in
walk
the corner.
Outside, Destin strangling. So like,
do we have the price for Blood and Wine? How much is that?
$174.
That seems like a lie. It's probably under $100.
You can get wine for like $2. The blood's the expensive stuff.
Yeah,
you gotta know, a blood.
You should donate. Donate blood.
Don't eat blood? Why not? It's delicious.
But really, you should, though.
Don't eat blood, he said.
You should donate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I keep trying to, but I'm always stepping on nails, and they don't want my blood. They're like, when's the last time you stepped on nails and went down the crick? And I'm like,
all the
time.
On the walk here.
Every damn day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good thing is a fun prank is go try to donate blood with no shoes on. Because they'll be like, where are your shoes? Like, can I have cookies? Lemonade, please? PlayStation Plus has got some pretty cool stuff for June. Of course, everyone will scoff at it. You no longer have an excuse not to play Gone Home if you have PlayStation Plus. That is now one of the free games for PS4. So put aside, 3 hours and sit down and play that game if you haven't already. And then, of course, if you want the opposite experience, there's NBA 2K16.
Yeah. That's a strange. Both of them about sexual awakenings.
Yeah.
And, Gone Home's cool to play.
Slam
dunks. Before Tacoma, whenever that comes out.
Yeah. And NBA 2K16 makes sense because the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
So someone on Tumblr referred to Gone Home as a lesbian fetch quest. I'm very entertained by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lesbian Labyrinth, man. PS3 is getting Silent Blood Curse. Is that a word?
Siren Blood Curse.
Sorry.
And Echo Curse.
And Echo. Did I write this? I might have.
You got cursed. You
might have confused. Yeah.
So these are two games. I don't know what these games are about. I might have fallen asleep halfway through writing this.
And
not
then
even a
for Vita,
sense.
Little Deviance, and God of War, Chains of Olympus.
Yeah.
Chains of Olympus works. Like, it's a good little portable spinoff. Mm-hmm. It's great for planes. Little Deviance was that Vita launch title. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Big shutdown after it. Little Deviance it very much feels like a launch title, but for free.
That was where you could like take a picture of your face and then like punch yourself in the face as like a robot or something.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
We got some hot questions from the Brapid Fire.
Brapid Fire. That's where every week we go in the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/podcastbeyond.
Or on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/IGNbeyond.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Christian Cesaris is all of a sudden.
I didn't want you to ask that one first. It's fine.
Okay, I'll get to
good.
It. If all of a sudden someone from the office had to become your dad, who would you choose? My money is on Jared being the popular choice.
Before I read that, I was like, Jared.
Yeah, pretty much.
Steve Pear would also be a great dad.
Oh, Pear would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pear's really cool. Really
also,
cool
honestly, Brian would be pretty good because, he would just spoil you and buy you a bunch of toys and feed you good food.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, he would.
You would come home crying totally and would. He would be like, yeah, so what? Want to fight about it? Big whoop.
But then he'd use his pizza stone and make me pizza.
Exactly.
Maybe.
And buy you like 90 Star Wars figures.
And we could just drink vodka sodas all night.
No, I feel like Brian is going to be like he's going to shape up so fast the second he has kids.
I think Steve out EIC is like kind of already a dad to everyone, so he'd be a pretty good dad.
Yeah.
Jared also.
Yes. Yeah, Jared's a good answer.
Who do you think would be the worst dad?
You?
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like I'd be a pretty bad dad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. You're a woman.
Yes.
Woman can't be good father.
Anyway, let's just avoid that.
I was raised by a single mother. I know these things. What? I
did right past that minefield.
Yeah. No, that's actually a good question. Who'd be the worst dad here? I'm just trying not to say anybody who actually has kids, because that would be mean.
I mean, honestly, probably the four of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I bet you'd be a good dad. You're sort of a dad already to the people in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the people that we find asleep at the office.
Yeah.
Which is Vince and Sean.
Vince would be a good uncle.
You sleep all the time.
Yeah, but not when during work hours. My sleep is like off to 5 p.m. I have a nap. And then I get up.
You've definitely napped during work hours.
No, I haven't.
You've crawled under your desk. And...
not during work hours. It's always off to.
Fair enough. Danny Hernandez says, best couch multiplayer game that isn't GoldenEye 64.
GoldenEye 64.
Yes.
Perfect Dark is better, though.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Couch, no world objectively. Where it's better.
Couch multiplayer meaning like competitive?
Like split
or
screen, I assume?
Like
couch co-op?
Yeah. I feel like the N64, that era, is sort of the one I think of.
Or Halo 2 is kind of my go-to.
Yeah. I was playing Halo 2 couch co-op on the weekend, and that was the best thing ever. I mean, yeah, I also want to say Gears of War, but I feel bad for listing
couch games. Yeah, we're talking co-op? I feel like we've talked about co-op before, but like... like competitive, like local competitive,
yeah, which is another Rocket thing. That's, yeah, that's another thing that's we've talked about that how it's had this resurgence lately with Nidhogg and Towerfall and
Nidhogg and Towerfall.
Yeah, both Nintendo's of those. Always been really good.
As far as good ass multiplayer games, Jackbox Party Pack is
always really good.
Super fun. Also, like one of those things that I remember, like I was getting like a buddy of mine was the PR guy for that, and he was like, "We're doing a press event. Come play this game." And I was like, "I'm not. I don't want to do that. I really don't." He's like, "Please." I was like, "I really don't want it." And then I wound up playing the game. I was like, "This game's really good."
Yeah.
I really also played a lot.
It's a weird one. I think people make fun of it, but I was actually just talking about this on Twitter. Nintendo Land, the Wii U launch title, is actually really good for local co-op.
Yeah,
I played that with my parents, and that was just the best. Like they all totally got it, and it was awesome. I played it with my mom, and my sister.
Man, that Pac-Man game for GameCube, the one that had the one that had the GBA ones.
Also, Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2.
Yeah, real good ones.
Very good couch. All right.
The official Uncle Bobo channel. Also, question, can we post rapid fire questions here in the comments? I'm guessing that was a YouTube channel.
Yeah. That's, I feel like you probably should have read these before.
I probably should have should have probably written what the hell that's going on here. Dang it.
The official Uncle Bobo channel asks, we can post rapid-fire questions here in the comments, and the answer is yes. You can post rapid-fire questions on the comment sections of the YouTube channel, and we will also add those.
Fun fact!
Aside from the Facebook.
We have a dedicated Podcast Beyond YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/IGN Beyond. Wow. Go check it out. Go subscribe to that. Even if you don't like...
I think we just hit
4,000. Even if you like never check your subscriptions, just get on that Google Plus and go click that little button.
That's a weird thing to do.
Do it.
If you want.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
Fine.
And then finally, we got a great question from definitely not Alana Pierce. Hey, guys, how was your weekend?
Good.
Sorry. Hey, guys, how was your weekend?
Oh,
did
God.
You get up to anything relevant to the Beyond audience?
Also, audience?
I don't even know what this word is. Also want to talk about X-Men a little. Oh, wait, this is a PlayStation podcast. We can't talk about things like X-Men Apocalypse.
I mean, why don't we just answer the first question? Some of you guys went to Kind of Funny Life.
Yeah. We did. Yeah, it was really fun.
A ton of fans.
It was crazy impressive. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. It was a cool show. God, I really respect those guys for putting that show on, also, considering they're that small of a team.
Cisco came out and sang the Pokemon theme song.
I'm really, really sorry I couldn't make it, partially because I would have loved to see people who listen to the show and everything. It would have been really fun, but also because I have Unleashed the Dragon on vinyl, and I want to get Cisco to sign it really badly. So
he was bummed that he wasn't able to come to the office because he was only here for...
He flew straight from Vegas?
Yeah.
Like the thing you put a thong on? Yes!
Yeah, we did it!
This is what guys talk about right here.
Yeah!
PlayStation games.
But!
Yeah! I went to Fanime, which was also really cool. Had some Beyond listeners come up at my set on Saturday night, which is awesome. I also played the Pokemon theme song. Take that, Cisco.
Yeah, did you write the thong
song? That happened. I did not write the thong song.
I don't even know if Cisco did. He might have had help on that.
That's a very good point. Yeah, also
I should
saw
I should read the liner notes and Unleash the Dragon. You saw X-Men. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we saw
Yeah, saw X-Men. I know the two of you also saw X-Men.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
I will not be seeing that film.
Yeah.
It's
I'm going to say right here, like, 80s X-Men is, like, one of my favorite things, period. Like, that predates my love of Star Wars. I grew
that
up reading...
That theme song, man.
Yeah, no, that's 90s X-Men. That's the cartoon show.
You're right.
Yes. 80s X-Men. I'm talking like
then
Chris,
I don't know what
Chris Claremont. Like the comics. Like the
when you opened the comics, they played that theme song.
Yeah.
It's like a
it was
card.
Horrible. It was like Harry Potter. All the pictures moved around. I had brain damage as a kid. No, but like 80s X-Men
I mean, I've read a lot of X-Men, but I don't think I've read old X-Men.
I've read a lot. I've read a lot of the really early stuff. And basically what happens is there's like the original team, the so-called first class that they did not use in the movie, which was like a bunch of white kids and his Beast and Angel and Jean Grey and Cyclops and Iceman. And then in 1975, they basically were like, oh man, sales are down. Let's shake things up a bit. So they went from being like, oh, it's a bunch of rich white kids in upstate New York, to like, let's make this crazy multicultural Burger King Kids Club adventure team, because the regular team gets captured by a living island. And so Xavier has to go around the world and get like Colossus and Storm and Nightcrawler and Wolverine and Banshee and Sunfire. And they're like this ragtag group. And like, Wolverine's just a dick. He's just really mean.
He is a huge dick. Yeah. Bub.
I think he calls Sunfire a Jap. You're like, oh my God.
Wolverine.
Yeah, and then eventually, like, gradually, they go up against the Hellfire Club, and Wolverine becomes, like, more of, like, a regular character. Sunfire gets really mad and leaves. He does not like hanging out at all. Banshee's like, I'm too old for this stuff. But you get to, like, the mid-80s, and it's really cool because, like, Storm loses her powers, and she winds up, like, shaving her head and getting a mohawk. She has this weird fling with Forge because he invented the thing that takes away her powers.
That's a weird reason to date someone.
Yeah, it's this crazy, like, Vision Quest. Awesome, like Barry Windsor Smith artwork. It's like, it's just some of my favorite writing.
X-Men is also just has always been awesome to me, because it puts the whole idea of being an outcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Into a group of people. I mean, and it's how they're treated, and yeah. I mean, there's a lot of parallels, and I think it makes it relatable to pretty much everyone.
You kind of see it with Spider-Man to a certain degree, where there's that sense of
totally,
being like,
absolutely. Spider-Man is like that.
And you know, you get the Avengers, which are pretty squeaky clean, and they occasionally dabble in being like not accepted.
I mean, they're just like a bunch of hot people,
but like, yeah,
who have like superpowers. Yeah. Whereas X-Men are like, you know, some of them also even just deal with like being disfigured as a result of being X-Men, and you know, that's, I think a lot of it's really relatable. This movie didn't tap in on any of that.
Yep.
I guess it did a tiny bit.
No,
I,
the movie's done.
No,
it did
awful.
A little bit in a
anything
Jean Grey
it, like the
sense.
Few. The rare moments where it hits any of that is stuff that previous movies already established, and it's just kind of taking. Yeah. Like,
what I'm really baffled by, like I haven't seen the film. I know they wind up back at Alkali Lake, the place that they go in X-Men 2. Again, why go back to that same spot again? Just why keep revisiting that
stuff?
I mean,
they went to Auschwitz, you know? Why go there?
Yeah. That's pretty weird. But then, like, the fact that
vaguely, weirdly makes sense in context, but it's still dumb.
They're with Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is, I don't know if he gets his memory wiped or whatever, but the fact that they're, like, they're, again, recycling. They just need to reboot this franchise. Like, they sort of pretend
they
did
give
that.
It to someone who's not Bryan Singer.
Yeah. I think
someone
who is
a good director.
I feel like the script was just very bad. Yeah. I think that Batman vs. Superman is worse than this. But the script is just intolerably awful and cheesy. There's, like, this dumb line where Jennifer Lawrence is like, you got your warship, referring to a, like, jet.
Yeah.
You got your warplane. Let's go to war. Like, shut up, idiot. Just leave.
And also, it took, like, some of this generation's greatest actors and make them all look
like complete
dicks.
Yeah.
Also, like, I walk by, you know, billboards, and they've got a picture of Apocalypse strangling Mystique. And they're like, X-Men Apocalypse. And I'm like, okay, you took the two biggest actors. You took Oscar Isaac and Jennifer Lawrence. And you had them play characters who are doing stuff that really don't have anything to do with those characters. Mm-hmm. Like, Mystique is, you know, she plays a big role in the comics, but, like, she's not, like, they totally did weird, different stuff with her in the movie. And that's fine.
Yeah,
like,
I always try not to think
thing,
about them that way.
I just hate it because they've got this massive wealth of, like, of content to go back on and to refer to, and they just keep screwing it up. Like,
look,
they keep, like, changing stuff for the sake of changing it.
The
like,
thing with that is no director gets praise for exactly replicating the fiction that someone else wrote.
Zack Snyder is a visionary director because he made 300 and Watchmen, and he stuck it real close to those panels in those books.
Until he didn't.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
I try not to go into comic book movies. Like, I would have been super disappointed if I expected Civil War to be exactly the same.
Oh, totally.
Civil War,
but well, they use the names just for the name value.
With
some
things,
like,
also,
it's not.
Like, they're having it set in the 80s. It doesn't look like it's set in the 80s. They don't do anything with that.
They did a little with, like, clothing and...
A
you know,
little.
Like,
they did the
like,
bare minimum.
One of my hugest pet peeves is period pieces, especially with modern stuff where there's tons of like if you screw up the collars in a Victorian period piece, okay, maybe people aren't going to grab it. Mm. But stuff in the 1980s and you've got like they're not really, they can't even just make it look sort of, you know, believable.
You made a Star Wars reference.
Yeah, that also really that really pissed me off. Apparently they talk shit on Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
You go read 80s X-Men comics and they're like, they're super, like they'll go to space and they'll be like, holy crap, is George Lucas behind this stuff? And you're like, oh, that's cute. They're making nods to that. And like the fact that like at the time Marvel was publishing like Star Wars comics too, it was cute. Like
I really think the Return of the Jedi thing was just a cute self-referential joke.
I think so too.
I really think Brian took it super personally.
Yeah.
I don't think it was meant to be that.
I really didn't
It's really just poking fun at X3. That's all they're doing. They're making fun of the third movie in a trilogy.
Yeah, but this is also the third movie in the new trilogy.
Oh,
yeah.
It's by far the worst. Hey, so you know how when, like, your friend makes fun of you and says something kind of mean, it's sort of funny and it's good-natured?
But if a stranger does that,
like, that happens just,
exactly,
to us all the time.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. We think we're mean to each other, but we're really just friends.
I don't know. I will watch this movie on a plane or maybe on Netflix.
I mean,
or
I wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
It's just awfully written, but I definitely don't think that is one of the worst parts of the movie. And there was some stuff that were good. They used Quicksilver in a really cool way at one point.
I'm hoping that this does well. Like, it's doing well, and I would almost rather have seen it not do well, so it was like the Fantastic Four thing where it's like, oh, like, we need to change this, because I think that's what X-Men has become. Like, this is now with spinoffs, the 9th X-Men movie, right? Because there was the 2 Wolverine movies, Deadpool, and then 6 core movies.
Yeah, still clinging to stuff from the previous.
Yeah, like, they just need to let go.
Just reboot it.
Yeah, I really, also, I wish, like, they would. And they had the cast.
Just let Marvel and Disney control over these things.
I watched Deadpool again this weekend. And
that's
so
a good movie.
I'm so happy they got that right, because Deadpool's always been my favorite. And the fact that they have Colossus in there being, like, totally Colossus.
Yeah.
Like, being like,
I'm so excited about the next one having Cable.
Yep.
Yeah. So excited about that.
I hope that Cable is a boring douche.
He's meant to be.
Yeah.
He's a
straight man.
Yeah. He's Max Payne. Like, you cosplayed us today.
He's not Max Payne. What are you talking
about? He's Super Max Payne-y.
No.
Super Max Payne 64?
No.
What?
Wingy?
Yeah.
It's Wingy. Again, not a word.
Like whiny?
Wingy. Benji's weird brother.
Oh, Benji. We gotta wrap up, because the esports boys are going to yell at us.
Those esports boys always knocking at our door. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. I'm sorry my voice is rusty and this is a weird show. It's very hot in here.
It's very hot in here.
Awful time. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, that's a place where we sometimes do things. I'm Max Scoville in there. Alana, you are Charlanazard. Mm-hmm. Figure out how to spell that on your own, or just type in stuff until it comes up. I don't know. Marty is
pointing at them.
McBiggities.
Stop
with
it.
Two G's
stop that.
And two
don't
T's.
Do that. Don't put it away. Everyone, stop clicking.
Don't say put it away on an audio podcast.
Put it away.
Why?
And what? Andrew Goldfarb is Garfep. And Brian Altano is going to be interviewing The Lonely Island on this week's Up at Noon, so you might want to tune in for that. That
also,
should be
please
cool.
Call out an app. You can find us on the PS4 app.
Great news to all you fine folks out there using the iOS, PS4, Xbox operating systems. We got a fresh new app for all those
things.
Why do
you sound like George W. Bush?
Is that what George W. Bush sounds like?
Now, Martin, I want to have you sit down right here. I'm real good at picking out nicknames.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Me and my boys down at
we
the
really
ranch,
need to
we,
leave.
Had, we had a Scooter, Dougler,
thanks, everybody.
Jimmy J, and Carl Rove. We were down there throwing around the old pigskin. We thought we should give Marty a nickname.
Beyond.
I don't like the fact
Beyond,
that it's called
everybody.
Pigskin. I think that's weird.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.